Hey everyone, Josh here. Quick question for you. Do you like coffee? Even more important question, do you like fresh coffee? Coffee that's roasted to order and doesn't taste like the bottom of your kitchen oven? If you answered yes to any of these questions, then you need to head over to MaquanoCoffee.com and get yourself some of the best coffee there is to get. Whether you like the light roast or the dark roast, or you're feeling a little whimsical and you want to get that sample pack, Maquano Coffee Roasters has everything you need. And just when you thought this couldn't get any sweeter, make sure to use the promo code REFORMATORY to get 20% off all bagged coffee. Do yourself a favor and stop drinking bad coffee, because you know what? Life's too short for that. Head on over to MaquanoCoffee.com and use the promo code REFORMATORY to get 20% off all bagged coffee. You will not regret it. Thanks, and now on to the show.
What do you got for me?
What's wrong with you people?
I got nothing for you.
What's wrong with you?
Right there, that was so good.
What's going on, everyone, and welcome to the Reformatory, the podcast for the local church and by the local church, and we are your local churchmen. My name is Josh, and I'm here as always with the man that needeth no introduction. But whenever people say that, they always go on to introduce them anyway. So it's the captain, Jack Barry. Jack, my friend, how are you?
Good Josh, time. I feel especially more talented after this morning because I trimmed up my beard a little bit more.
Dude, did you put the old blades to work, huh?
Dude, I'm kind. Dude, that looks good.
You've got the shape.
Yeah,
like, you've got the side shape down.
I think I'm so OCD with this shape that I think I'm so OCD on where the angle is of the clipper.
Yeah.
That I will literally like take like two or three, like I won't dig in.
No. That's the worst thing that you can do. Like literally, you know, like they'll, when you're trimming beards in like a barbershop, you'll see them like almost, it's like they go over it and you're like, did you even touch it? Did you even touch the hairs on my beard? Right. But it's just get the outliers, man. Like you can always more off. You can't put it back on.
Yeah. It depends. I've seen some barbershops literally like nick it. Right here.
Yeah.
And they say and like that across. Length. And I'm like, yeah, sure. Let's go with that.
Yeah.
So,
oh, dude, last time I went to a barbershop to get my beard trim.
Yeah.
I told him, like, I just want it shaped. I'd like cut off any of the stragglers. I don't want any length cut off. Homie took like 3 inches off my beard. He took like, okay, if you're on YouTube, it's down to like here now. I need to comb it out. But it's down to here. He took it like here.
Dude.
Like almost halfway, and I got done with it, and I'm like, what part of keep the length did you not hear, my friend?
That
I hated it. Jack, I have a possible venture that I'm going to be diving into here. Possibly. Okay. I'm still considering it.
Okay.
I'm considering taking up boutique coffee drinking.
Dude, what? Okay, I saw you post something that said, I'm about to take up coffee drinking. Josh, you have never liked coffee.
I'm not a big coffee guy, which I know is ironic because I'm the one that does our coffee ad at the beginning of every single episode.
How is it now that you're going to drink up, like, you're going to muster your own strength to start going into this? What's up with that?
There's one reason and one reason only.
Oh, gosh, what is it?
I'm tired all the time. I'm tired all the time.
Josh, I'm going to tell you something. It's a secret of coffee drinkers. When you drink coffee, you're still tired all the time.
Okay. You know, I don't need this negativity. I don't need this negativity in my life.
I will drink the strongest black coffee and still like 2 hours later, I'm like, well, I'm going to go to bed.
I knew a guy who, oh man, I played, he was our bass player at a church. And I was playing drums. We got to be good friends. And he would tell me what he would do is he would have This is how he would make his coffee. Okay. He would brew cold brew, like thick.
Oh my gosh.
Cold brew.
Yeah.
And then he would use in the morning, he would use the coffee that he made as the water to make his coffee.
That's insane.
So you like fill up the coffee maker with water and then it spills into your beans. Yeah. He put coffee in there to make his coffee.
Wow.
It ends up being like a 9-shot coffee every time he drinks it.
That's insane.
Dude, how was your Lord's Day?
It was good. We're continuing kind of the Becoming Into the Image of God series. So, okay. Mm-hmm. Went into Psalm 46.
Okay.
And Psalm 46, it's famous for the "Be still and know that I am God."
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Verse.
Hobby that's Lobby's favorite verse.
That's not all the verse. But one of our pastors who was preaching it, I said, are you going to go into the lukewarm evangelicalism? Be still and
love.
And he's like, well, he's like, not really, and yes, really. I'm like, well, what does that mean? And he goes, I'm explaining more of the psalm and what that means. Mm-hmm. So he's talking about like the Lord's presence and how we are not really present. Like our society is becoming more, less and less present.
Yeah.
Like just like you being present in a person's life, like there's less of that. Yeah. Because everybody's on their phone, everybody's distracted.
Right.
And so he was referencing Psalm 46 and the kind of how it's structured in that it is in each third of the psalm, it's talking about the Lord's presence. It's bookend by the Lord's presence. And then in the middle of it, it said the God of Jacob is amongst you.
Yeah.
Right. And then he was talking about the why you would use the word Selah sometimes in there. Mm-hmm. So we were talking about like the Lord's presence and how we're not present with each other and how that affects relationships.
Yeah.
Right. And also just your presence, like you being present with God and how distraction will literally like kill you. In our society right now, because you're not present with God.
Right.
So I was pleasantly surprised at how he took it compared to other stuff that is more focused on, well, you just got to be still and these magic things will happen. I think one of our pastors was taking a little bit more deliberate aim of like, no, you have to fight for being present with God.
Right.
And you have to actually have a habit of going to him daily. He's like, how many of you, dude, talk about convicting people. Huh? He's like, how many of you have just drove somewhere without putting music or anything on lately?
Yeah.
He's like, yeah. He's like, this isn't something new that I'm talking about. He's like, and he was talking about other different theologians talking about how if the hardest thing for a person to do is just sit with themselves.
Right.
You know, so
yeah,
we were going deep today, as far as like spirituality, deep within biblical spirituality that way. So, but yeah, it is convicting, knowing how much I think of our society is like tied to and tethered to our phone in some regards.
Mm-hmm.
And it's hard to break that and become more present with people.
Yeah.
So, and we're going analog too. I don't know if I told you this.
You did tell me that. Yeah. So I think that's a cool thing.
So we're intentionally trying to not, now he's not being legalistic about it, but he's like, try not to look at your, if it's not an emergency, try not to look at your phone or anything like that.
Right.
And so basically all of our songs are printed in the bulletin that we're going to sing.
Nice.
And I don't know if we're going to start doing this, but we started off our call to worship with the doxology.
Nice.
And then we sang some worship songs and then we do our gospel welcome, like I tell people as well too.
Yeah.
And then we read the scripture as well too. And so,
yeah,
but yeah, that was, I liked it. I honestly, you can probably chime in a little bit more. I really hate it when some churches do call to worship and they drown out the congregation with instruments instead of letting the congregation's voices kind of echo in the sanctuary.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, as a musician, I can say that the purpose of instruments within the context of the local church are to be an accompaniment to the voices of the people of God. Right. Yeah. So when you have churches that kind of, they make, you know, the instruments, the main thing, the instrumentation, the main thing, that you have kind of a band up there that is leading worship, which is actually not a term that I really like because it makes it, it's a misnomer and it causes people to just consider the music, the worship aspect of the service, right? Yeah. When the entirety of what you were doing on the Lord's Day is worship, right? Through music, prayer, call and response, right?
Communion.
Preaching, Lord's Supper. Exactly. Right. It's all worship.
Yeah.
Right. So when you, and the goal is to bring God glory by worshiping him as a corporate body. That is what the Lord's Day is for, is set aside for the worship of God by his people gathered together, physically together.
Yeah.
Right. So this has been something that I've really like had, I mean, probably a harsher view. Maybe because I am really big into music, but I have the same kind of pet peeve, man. Like when it's when I'm in a local church and I can't hear the voices of God of God's people, it makes me sad. It makes me sad because it's you're missing out on what the purpose of singing is bringing God glory together. Right. Now, I love a good like good instruments. Like I want the musicians to be proficient in their instruments. I don't want it to be distracting. Right. Because you can have there's multiple ways you can be distracting with your instruments. Right. Yeah. And I'm coming from someone who has the ability to be more distracting than pretty much anybody because I play drums.
Yeah.
Okay. And you know, everyone knows and everyone has horror stories of those drummers that just go off, right? On the Lord's Day service. And, you know, they, us drummers hold a lot of power. Let's just be real, right? But you can be distracting by being too loud. You can be distracting by not being proficient, maybe, you know, not practicing, right? Playing the wrong keys. Maybe you need to work on your rhythm, things like this, right? Again, like we address those and we engage those things with grace, but I do think, you know, if you're going to be serving the church in that way, you know, work hard to be proficient at what you do because it's a good thing, right? We do want to give our best to the Lord, even though we know he accepts our worst in Christ, right? Yeah. But having the congregation's voices within the Lord's Day service, both in song. And I'm a big fan of call and response stuff too. I know it's old fashioned, but like we're putting together I kind of put together the aspects of a full liturgical service that we're going to be rolling out here in our church in the next couple months, which I'm super excited for. And I'm hoping to begin to integrate some call and response, some congregational readings within there because the more that you can be involving the congregation within the Lord's Day service.
Yeah.
I think it sends a really, really good picture because I think in this kind of corporate America, local church mentality that we have, it tends just to kind of be viewed as a show and that whatever happens on stage, like that's church. Right. And I'm just sitting here and I just need to receive it.
Consume it
and then leave, right? But that's not what the local church Lord's Day should look like.
Yeah.
It's a interactive time where we are receiving and we are worshiping together, right? And we are doing these things together. We're worshiping together. We're praying together. We're taking the Lord's Supper together. There's a responsibility for the congregant in the Lord's Day service, and it is to be an active participant in these things, not just sit there and consume and then, you know, leave, and it would have been the same if you'd just been like watching it on a screen, right? Yeah. So, yeah, it's about the congregation. It's about doing it together and having those aspects of this Lord's Day service led correctly. I think fosters and creates an environment to where there is that focus of worshiping corporately and not an individual experience, right?
Yeah. I just remember from one of my old churches, somebody got up on stage after, like, it was just all the congregation's voices were just drowned out.
Yeah.
They're like, isn't it so good to hear other people's voices? Oh, and I'm like,
you get a little passive aggressive.
I could not hear anybody's voices. Oh. What are you talking about? Like, get out of here.
Oh, no.
It's just so bizarre when that happens. I think right now, I immediately start to wonder about people's experience in call to worships when your call to worship looks like a rock concert.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, ugh.
Yeah. Well, dude, it's that clip. It's that famous clip. And it's in, I'm sure, I mean, everyone I'm sure knows it. And we actually have aspects of it in our intro. It's that Alistair Begg clip where talking about, you know, he's like, I was at the service and, you know, they started, the music started pumping and the clock goes 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. And the music guy gets up there and he goes, hey, how y'all feel this morning? And he's like, well, that was good enough for me. I could have just gone home. You know, I think we made it part of our intro because of how amazing the story is. But he's touching on something really, really true there. Right. Like, I think there's obviously different ways to do it and different churches do it different ways, but we got to, as the local church, really get back to being intentional with the elements of worship.
Yeah.
Right? And that regulative principle of we're going to engage in the worship of God the way that God has commanded us to do it. Right, especially in this post COVID world, that's more important now than ever, because I think you have a lot of people that are, you know, even still struggling with some semblance of normality and you know, the commitment to the Lord's Day is still something that we see is lacking in a lot of people's life, and we have to be worshiping correctly. It's really important. And you're right, man. Like you see some just kind of almost a lackadaisical, like it's all country club. It's all concert good. You know, we're just here to have a good time and we're here to worship. It's enjoyable.
Yeah.
It is. Praise the Lord that it is, but it's important. Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's a huge reason why I think a lot of people, a lot of Protestants are leaving Protestantism to go over.
Yeah. We've talked about this. Yeah.
Catholicism or Eastern Orthodoxy, because they prop themselves up as more regulative principle than, I mean, most, you know, Protestant evangelical churches, you know, and when your Protestant evangelical church looks like a rock concert, how are you distinguishing yourself from the world at that point?
Yeah.
I'm not saying that you need to do all a cappella or anything like that, but
right.
The simple things like making sure that your instruments do not drown out your congregation's voices.
Yeah.
Making sure that you're singing, you know, some sort of either like hymn or maybe modern day, you know, song as well too, that people can follow so that it's easier to kind of accompany that. But yeah, I think that's just one dynamic of it. There's a lot of other stuff to that, but I think that the problem is, in a lot of ways, is that we don't have a set liturgy. And I think when people start just basic liturgies as well too, that you can follow.
Yeah.
And even like dynamics in which you know, we can start looking at ways in which it may not be high church liturgy, but at least it's incorporating scripture. Like you're talking about call and responses.
Yeah, right.
Usually when we start a service, we do call to worship, sing a hymn or a song. Mm-hmm. And then after that we do, you know, gospel welcome, which I've talked about. And then the person standing on stage will either have the congregation read along with them a psalm or a text of scripture, mm-hmm. or do a call and response, mm-hmm. in which, you know, the congregation, the person upstage will say something, the leader will say something, and then followed by the congregation saying something and back right. and forth like right. that. I really prefer that because, like you said, I think that incorporates everybody into that aspect of worship.
Yeah.
It's not a consumeristic way.
Yeah.
Of looking at Sunday service or the Lord's Day. It's more mm-hmm. of a participatory thing.
Right.
And it starts to ground you in the reason why you're even there in the first place.
Exactly.
Like we talked about.
Exactly.
Because I think a lot of people go to Lord's Day services because they think it's the preaching.
Right.
And I would not say that. I would say it's the gathering of believers to worship God.
Yeah.
Preaching the word is an aspect of that, but it's not the mainstay.
Yeah. The entire service being rooted in the word of God, that is what the service needs to be. Your preaching, your singing, your prayers, your fellowship, everything must be rooted and proclaimed from the word of God. And if you're going to remove one of those aspects, right, it's a cohesive whole. Yeah. Right. When we talk about the regulative principle, if you remove preaching, it ceases to be regulative. Yeah. If you remove singing, like they did in COVID, it ceases to be regulative. If you remove the sacraments, it ceases to be regulative. If you remove prayer, like all the aspects that God has laid out for his people to worship him with, they are meant to be utilized together as a cohesive whole that comprises the Lord's Day. Right. So there's that old adage that, you know, what you win them with is what you win them to, right? And we see time and time again, like you just said, the point of the Lord's Day is lost. Mm. And you have people and leaders within the local churches utilizing the Lord's Day as something that it was not intended to be used for.
Yeah.
Right. Or utilizing the music for an intent that it was not to be used for. And you get very loud concert-like services with very weak, milquetoast 20-minute sermonettes. Right. And there's no real community. There's no really anything there that would keep people from coming through the door because the point is attraction.
Yeah.
Right. And look, this isn't just the big mega churches either.
True.
Right?
This
is an issue that every single church needs to make sure that they are not falling into, mm-hmm. because it's tempting. It can be a tempting thing. Be like, well, if we just kind of tweak this a little bit and tweak this, and maybe if we don't do this and do this instead, maybe, you know, when we take the Lord's Day when we take the Lord's table, maybe we don't fence it as much as, you know, scripture does to kind of be a little bit more inclusive and not be so harsh. It's a slippery slope, the things that we are okay with cutting out, to where you realize kind of at the end of it, like, I don't have anything here that is resembling a true Lord's Day service at all.
Yeah.
Right. And that's a big thing that was happening through COVID, right? Is, yeah. Especially in Washington, is we had a government that was attempting to dictate, yeah. how we Christians worship, and they tried to dictate how we meet, when we meet. They tried to dictate whether or not we could take the Lord's Supper. That was a huge one. They tried to dictate whether or not we could sing as God's people, right? And you know, again, like we obey the government where we can.
Yeah.
Right. But at a certain point, you start messing with the ordinances of God. And we're going to be like, yeah. You know, I'm sorry. No, 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 No. I'm going to sing. I'm going to take the Lord's Supper and I'm going to meet because that's what I'm commanded to do.
Yeah. Know? I think people in Washington really struggled with that, where in other places, I think like in California, they could really pivot really well.
Yeah.
Because I don't know what it was. I think in California, it's perpetually like 60 degrees there, right? Mm. So you have more ways to kind of meet outside.
Yeah.
And I remember, what was it, like the beginning of March, that's when we got the
everything
lockdown.
Kind of popped off.
But yeah. I felt like we could have pivoted, at least in some ways, to like meeting in a park or doing something.
Sure, yeah.
And I felt like...
The shutdown should not have happened.
Yeah, and I felt like a lot of leaders in Washington just, I don't know, for whatever reason, I get the pressure that there was a lot of stuff happening in congregations, but I think the least that people could have done that I appreciated in like some of those like maybe Sunbelt states was that they pivoted to like outside.
Sure, sure.
And I felt like that was a good remedy to a lot of things that people were craving is like people wanted to meet with one, like people wanted to basically live out that regulative principle again.
Right.
But then I just remember so many people being tied to a freaking building, dude. And it's just like, no, like find a park.
Yeah.
Meet there. Like do it.
Yeah.
Like just do it somehow. I don't like, and I think that's the problem with North American evangelicalism is somehow if you don't have it a certain way.
Right.
Then we're very spoiled. People. And I'm like, who gives a crap? Get the worship leader out there with a guitar and let's sing some hymns for crying out loud and do open air preaching. I don't care.
Yeah, for sure.
I felt like that was really, I felt like initiative was really lacking, like initiative and innovation, and not innovation in a bad way, innovation in a pivoting way where it's like, okay, if the government says this, we're doing this.
Well, shrewd as serpents and as doves, right? Like it's something to where like, okay, like if you don't want us to meet in our building, okay, guess what? We don't need one. We never have. Right. Yeah. Especially at the beginning, right. There's grace at the beginning. Nobody knew what the heck was going on. Like I totally get it. Right. But at a certain point, you know, you get into, you know, month 2, 3, 4, 6 months, a year. Right. And you're like, okay, this is we have to do what God wants us to do. Figure out a way to do it, right? Because the point, it goes back to what we're saying. What is the point of it? The point is worshiping God in the manner in which He desires. That's why we do that, right? Yeah. And when that is your priority, right and correct worship, when that is your priority, it supersedes comfort and it supersedes, weird situations that you have to overcome, right? It's like, well, yeah, of course we're going to pivot. Of course we're going to bend. Of course we're going to have a really weird type service, but it's going to be right.
Yeah.
Right. And it's going to be real. Right. And that's something that I like. I think that's one of the reasons, Jack, that I am confessional is because there's so many churches today that I see that are just trying to recreate the wheel for themselves.
Yeah.
And what ends up happening is you have a conglomeration of biblical things and then just kind of a... Sometimes it's a personal preference. Sometimes it's, you know, cultural norms, fill in the blank, that kind of infiltrate the service, right? And why I'm a big fan of liturgy, why I'm a big fan of confessionalism is because you have that time-tested historical standard that's been there, that is, like, I don't think it's worth remaking because... It's one of the best things I've ever experienced.
Yeah.
Right. And not to say you can't have faithful churches that aren't confessional or don't have a more historical liturgical service. Not at all. You can be very, very faithful. But those churches that don't have those things that are still faithful, they're still rooted in Scripture. They're still rooted in the things of God and the way that God wants them to worship. So
I just think having a liturgy and having a confession just makes it easier. Personally, I think it's just the easier way to go because it's there for you. You have that standard that you can go back to and say, okay, first and foremost, the standard is the word of God. What does the word of God say? Okay. So now how do we practically put that into practice? Well, yeah. Let's go to our confession. What does our confession say?
Yeah.
Right. That has been such a blessing in my life to be able to have something that I look back on that is not authoritative in a scriptural sense,
yeah,
but has more authority than me.
True.
Right? We need that.
Yeah.
Especially in this post-COVID, post-modern world we live in, we need authority. We really do,
yeah,
as Christians.
Yeah. And I think a lot of people are, especially when you start bringing in creeds and confessions.
Yeah.
Oh, man. There's so
it
many.
It gets opinions. Spicy, man. You got some passionate people. Yeah. Yeah.
Josh, this year,
2025,
is the 1700 year in which the Nicene Creed was written.
Oh,
so.
Isn't that where they made up wasn't that all about the canon of scripture?
Oh my gosh.
Isn't that where they did
that?
Hey,
by the way, since we're going off that.
Yeah.
Let's talk about what did we think of the Wes Huff Joe Rogan episode?
That's a podluck topic right there.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, maybe because I have thoughts.
Get a little spicy right there.
I have thoughts.
And tease it out because we'll have some podlucking over that.
Yeah, because I've got some thoughts. Not only the Wes Huff Joe Rogan podcast, but the Mel Gibson Joe Rogan podcast. Oh, did you watch that?
I didn't watch that.
That was bonkers, dude.
Oh,
talk about a kooky Catholic.
Oh,
Mel
my God.
But as crazy as Mel Gibson is, he dropped some bombs where I'm just like, oh, dude, he went after evolution. He's like, that Darwin stuff. Yeah, he's like, gets his grimace. I don't buy it. He's like, you're gonna tell me that I crawled out of some jelly fusion out of the ocean with no arms and legs and poof, here I am. And he goes, and then he just stops. He goes, no, I was created. Like this. And I'm just like, oh man, wow. Gibson. Yeah, no, we're gonna talk about that as well as some other cool stuff that I've got I want to talk about on the podluck. So we're gonna send it over to there. But Jack, my friend, this has been a good ep. I've enjoyed talking regulative principle with you, right worship with you. That's been fun. So why don't you get us out of here, my man?
Yeah, okay. So for those of you craving cigar reviews,
we're figuring it out.
I need some better perspective here. For those of you who want, haven't heard anything in the comments yet.
Because here's the thing. Let's be honest. Okay. The method that we have been doing it's 2025. We're shaking things up, right? The episode structure is changing, right? It's more fluid. It's more conversational. People seem to be liking that. We've gone through so many brands of cigars that it's hard for us to like continue that as being the standard. So we're going to have to, shake it up a little bit. We still love cigars. Let's be clear. It's just going to have to integrate it a little differently, I think.
Yeah. I'm going to a cigar trivia night for crying out loud here even before this episode or after this episode. Well,
yeah,
before this episode drops.
Right.
In the week that we're recording, I'm going on Tuesday. So I'm asking some associates of mine, possibly some elders, on what we can do with that. So,
there you go.
Anyway, so like Josh was saying, we're working on that. But as you are trying to follow the Reformatory and our episodes, you can find us on the Sociables.
Yes.
You can find us on the Metaverse. The Facebook, if you will, trying to absolutely copy what X is doing on everything they do.
Dude, that was another podcast. He had Elon Musk. He had three crazy podcasts in a row.
Zuckerberg.
Zuckerberg. Excuse me. Yeah. Zuckerberg. And Zuckerberg's trying to make it like he's all like freedom of speech guy now. Like, come on.
Get the heck. I don't
come
buy
on,
it.
Son.
I don't buy it.
Come on, son.
He's He's brown nosing. Anyway, so you can find us on the metaverse, the Facebook, if you will. You can find us on the Instagram, goes well with chocolate and marshmallow. Or you can find us, like we've been talking about, on the sociable, formerly known as Twitter, the X. Mm-hmm. Not the X, but X. All at the tag at Reform Contori Pod. Like we've talked about, if you want to send us a message, a direct message on those different sites with our tag at Reformatory Pod, you can. You can drop us an episode idea. You can drop us a question, comment, concern. If you want us to take the cigar review route in some sort of direction that you want to go into, we're open and willing to listen there, people. But Josh, you can tell the people how they might support the Reformatory in other ways.
So. Right. There are multiple ways you can support the Reformatory. If you're a longtime listener, we'd ask you to be a first-time reviewer. Head on over to Apple and Spotify. You can rate this podcast and review this podcast, and we ask that you do both. Give us a little 5 stars for 5 solas, and give us a little paragraph of maybe how you found the podcast, what you appreciate about the podcast. We would love to hear from you guys. It's always fun seeing those reviews come in. We have YouTube. You can head on over there, like, comment, subscribe, hit the little bell for notifications, as the kids say. If you want to watch this as well as listen to this, make sure to head on over to YouTube and watch the video of this podcast episode. We have shirts. Link in the description of this episode. We've partnered with that small mom and pop shop called Amazon, and we sell some pretty cool designs through there. More designs on the way. More designs always on the way. They are in the works right now. We should be uploading some more designs here soon. Last but not least, we have a Patreon. It's the best Patreon in the podcast business, at least the Reformed World podcast business. And I'm not biased at all. But for $5 a month, a $5 holla, you can head on over to Patreon, become a supporter. And our pledge to you is, if you do that, your name shall be hallowed.
Hallowed, sir. Hallowed.
Hallowed through the halls of the podcast. That is our pledge to you. We thank you all for listening. And we will catch you on the next step of the Reformatory.